those of IRN. It's Advert.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And, well, today, this evening, our guest is Michael Shaw. We're going to be talking about property rights. And, of course, he heads an organization here in Santa Cruz that's dedicated to the preservation of the right of private property. Because without private property, there is no freedom. And you will never find the words life and liberty mentioned in the Constitution without associating them with the word property, the very foundation of our freedom. And there is an organized effort all across America to take away property rights because there are people who have a different worldview. They despise freedom. They realize if they can take away property rights, they can control people. So, without further ado, Michael, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you give us the intro and just tell us what's going on, why they want to take away our property rights, and why is that so dangerous to the preservation of liberty?
Well, that discussion is really the discussion we had last month about sustainable development. You know, the most underrated and understood dynamic in all of American politics is this concept called sustainable development. That's a globalist UN concept that is fully embraced by the federal government, whether it's a Clinton presidency or a Bush presidency. And at the essence, the thrust of sustainable development, which goes on now in every county across the country, is the call for the elimination of private property. Now, people living in rural areas feel that much more intensely than people living in suburban areas. That's as of today. But in a period not too far from now, suburbanites are going to feel the same pressures that rural people are experiencing. Because the goal under sustainable development is to abolish private property and have all people living in stack'em and pack'em, so-called smart growth units, built along generally rail lines or bus lines, where mobility is decreased, where ownership is eliminated, where people's jobs become assigned to them, and where their children are taken from them each day, and while they're raised and inspired by a collectivist concept in their day school programs. So the understanding of private property is essential to the defense against this globalist movement called sustainable development, again, fully embraced by the federal government. If you don't understand what private property is, and most Americans, I think, as a result of our educational process today, don't really understand what private property is. If we don't understand that, we're going to lose it, and when we lose it, we've lost our freedom. It was George Washington who said, private property and freedom are inseparable. And so that's why it's so essential that we each understand what private property is and that we begin to learn the rules for respecting the private property of another.
All right, fine. Well, certainly this private property is under attack on all sides today. And until people understand that so much of the things, planning, we have to have planning commission and we have to have planning commissioners, and they've got to be able to tell you what you can do with your private property, because after all, we are a nation of laws, and whatever these people make up the law to be today, that's the law that it is. And if you don't think that there's a lot of favoritism among the people who are making these bureaucratic decisions, you don't understand how the game is played. And if you don't think that money talks, why, you really have to look into so much of what goes on today in planning. Michael, why don't you go right ahead from there?
Well, let's start then with an understanding of private property and individual liberty, and why the two are corollaries of one another. Private property encourages each of our productive activity. It allows us to turn our ideas into actions and then realize the benefit of those actions. Private property also allows us to engage in voluntary trade with others. When we do that, the history of America is that voluntary trade multiplies the benefits of individual action a thousandfold, because voluntary trade just cycles through the economy, and everyone who touches in on that trade aspect benefits. And also, private property enables us to safeguard and develop our resources responsibly, and to secure peace and prosperity as a result. After all, a forest owner isn't interested in ruining his topsoil necessary for the production of the next generation of trees. So it's by understanding private property that we come to understand that the management dynamics that relate to environmental protections are best sustained by preserving and protecting a system of private property. The private property, you know, I break it into two categories. One is the character of private property, and two is what is the essence of private property. Focusing on the character of private property is really two elements there. One is productive effort, and productive effort requires that the freedom to think and the freedom to express require the freedom to act. So while we usually think of private property as things which we enjoy exclusive rights of ownership and use, our homes and our furnishings and the lots on which our homes stand, but if we really get to a study of private property, we find that it really has a much deeper significance than that. Private property is synonymous with individual self-ownership. No private property, well, you find yourself living in a society where you don't own yourself. Private property begins with our persons, the ownership of our bodies, and it extends then to our thoughts, our expressions, and our actions. Because private property is so intimately connected to our very beings, it is essential to our self-interest and our self-esteem. But suppose the government blocks productive activity.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our stations on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael Shaw is our guest this evening. He's just talking about this right of private property, and we should have a right to our thoughts of private property. That doesn't necessarily have to mean a piece of property. It can be your ideas, things that you produce, things of that sort. Anything that you have done is your property. So go right ahead.
Well, suppose government blocks productive activity by complicating or outlawing human uses of private property. And suppose further that government began to threaten physical force for noncompliance with their rule system. Now, the effect of that, and that's what we're experiencing today, certainly, the effect of that threat is to destroy individual liberty and an individual's pursuit of being who one is. Such harm blocks the path for personal achievement and the societal gains that come from production and trade. When a person knows their productive action will result in personal harm, a person normally chooses not to carry out the action. That's what happened in the Soviet Union. When thoughts can no longer find expression in action, people generally just suppress the thought. The other component of the character of private property is the idea of voluntary trade. You see, a spontaneous order results from voluntary trade, and that causes mutual benefit, and that leads to societal gains. You see, private property is freely created and freely exchanged. In a society rooted in private property, all the people who contribute to the manufacture or the distribution or the sale or the purchase of an item are each seeking personal gain. But in order to achieve their goal, they must obtain the voluntary consent of those with whom they deal. No one can be forced to carry out his part of the bargain. So, for instance, imagine that you go to the market with a dollar in your pocket and you desire a quart of milk. The trade that follows benefits you because you value the milk more than the dollar. The market owner values the dollar more than the milk. But in order to provide that milk to an eager market, those who are engaged in the supply of milk also seek personal gain. Think about who that includes. Farmers, feedlot operators, distributors, truckers, equipment manufacturers, suppliers of resources used to make the equipment, the processors of those resources, and the land managers where the resources come from, and so on. It's a dizzying series of interactions that enables you to give your child a glass of nourishing milk. Each achieved a personal gain by contributing to the production of a quality product at a reasonable price. That's a description of the system of private property. It's a spontaneous order which no government bureaucracy could successfully orchestrate. And it's that spontaneous order that makes possible ease and affordability of obtaining the products that we all enjoy. So, the decentralized knowledge that produces such achievement can only be accomplished in the society that operates within the institutions of individual liberty and their corollary private property. And that's why it's so important that while private property is under attack by anybody who observes the dynamic happening in America today, if they can understand the basis for that attack, and that means to understand the philosophy behind sustainable development, we can begin to see what the consequences of these warm and fuzzy concepts called sustainable development and where they're leading us. They're leading us to a system that abolishes private property, pure old-fashioned Marxist idea, that is given muscle by the fascist economic principles by which sustainable development operates. The case is clear that under sustainable development dynamics, which is happening in your county, wherever you're listening, certainly Santa Cruz has been one of the leading engineers of sustainable policy. Now it's everywhere. And as it happens, inch by inch, day by day, the idea of private property is evaporating. And that's why it's so important that people begin to understand what sustainable development is, how it works into your community, and then come to the defense of private property and freedom by exposing what it is that sustainable development is really all about. And for people who don't know a whole lot about sustainable development, and I know you've had a lot of shows on it, Stan, so I doubt if there are any consistent listeners in the audience tonight who don't have a good idea of what sustainable development is. But even for those people, a visit to our website, freedomadvocates.org, will give you a great insight and understanding of the nature and specifics and the attacks being engineered by the sustainable developers that are throughout our society today, all seeking to collectivize water, to generate a housing dynamic that is dependent upon, quote, public-private partnerships. I mean, in Mussolini's day, that was just called fascism. You know, the combination of government, public, and private business, the private side of this equation, the combination of those two is what fascism is. And now you can't look at an industry without seeing evidence of public-private partnership dominating the day. So it is time for Americans to really grapple with an understanding of what private property is, how it's essential to our liberty, and how sustainable development is the greatest threat in all of American history to the continuity of the ideals of private property.
Well, I think most Americans have a very difficult concept. They have a great deal of difficulty believing that there really is an organized, orchestrated effort to take away our freedom, to take away our right to do what we want to with our property. People labor under the misconception that we are truly free, but how can you be free when you've got a government agency that can tell you what you can do with your property, in many instances, whether you can cut a tree down, because after all, there are all sorts of regulations on trees. You may be living in some sort of a planned development area where, you know, even the color you paint your home will be regulated by the property owners association. These are all very, very carefully conceived concepts of little by little controlling what the individual does. And, you know, the America we live in today is so different than the America we lived in 50 years ago. But it's happened so gradually, little bit by little, a little freedom here, a little freedom there, a new regulation, a new ordinance, until one day we wake up and we find out that all freedom as we know it is gone.
Well, I think that's right, Dr. Stan. But what those who are seeking to deny freedom to succeeding generations, what their insight is, and they're smart in this understanding, is that if they can eliminate private property, the rest of it just falls right into line. And so the concern today is that business operating in America is increasingly tied to government in this, quote, public-private partnership dynamic. I mean, you cannot build more than one house in Santa Cruz County unless you are a recognized public-private partner. And if you are, Santa Cruz County, as an example, your county may be doing the same thing, has received commitments from the federal government for $300 million to be offered in subsidy to the first 3,000, that's 100,000 a unit, stack 'em and pack 'em sustainable development housing units. Now, these have an average size of 600 square feet, with a developer signed up on the government contract getting $100,000 of subsidy on the front end. Well, a reasonable free enterprise developer can build such a unit for $100,000. You don't need subsidies. I mean, at this point, you know, a real developer is able to cause the entire sale price, which again is guaranteed by government, to be his profit. So what people need to do is to begin to understand the mechanics that are being implemented by your local government with funding from the federal government in order to tie themselves up very tightly with their buddies, insiders, fascist economic operators, in order to take away industry after industry across this country until we have no system of private property. We have a system of public-private partnership, meaning old-fashioned economic fascism.
But, you know, Chris, a lot of the developers that go along with it, they're going to get a lot of money. And a lot of, Chris, the farmers go along with these various government programs. They get their subsidies from the government. And it's so easy simply to go with the flow or to accept the regulations that the government imposes, whether it be the federal or the state or the local communities, as long as we benefit, you know, financially. But what we don't understand is when we begin accepting subsidies at one form or another from a level of government, with each of these come strings being attached to what we do, to what is done with that property that we've developed, until eventually, of course, everything will be controlled. And then one day, we may very well see the non-benevolent side of government, the side that is not there to help us, but is there to control, to regulate and oppress us. And sooner or later, people suddenly find out that is the real objective.
Well, and that's the whole issue of the timing of the understanding of this evolution of a new world order, and why it's so important people now begin to understand what it's all about, because later on it's simply going to be too late to stop it.
Amen to that. But you know, some of the biggest farmers in America get mammoth subsidies from the federal government. Oh, how could they possibly object to getting $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year from the federal government? But eventually, there are going to be repercussions, because nothing comes from nothing, and whether you're a developer or whether you're the fellow firms, got to get that subsidized housing. Seems too good to be true, but sometime, of course, it's going to come the time to pay. We'll be back in just a moment with Michael Shaw here at Radio Liberty. Michael, go ahead, pick up the story.
Well, let's talk about the essence of private property. You know, what is the essence of private property? I'll contend.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Enterprise, on the other hand, certainly the free enterprise system, is sort of a system where people are free to do with their labor and free to do with their property what they want to. And there's a lot of difference between free enterprise and capitalism. But pick up the story there.
Well, we're going to now talk about, we've compared free enterprise with socialism. Now we're going to talk about the economic model called sustainable development. Now, sustainable development relies on a mix of socialism and so-called communitarianism. Communitarianism seeks an alternative to socialism and free enterprise by pretending to split the difference between them, creating what Benito Mussolini and Tony Blair call the third way. This is the idea that now is often characterized as public-private partnership. So that means that, like free enterprise system, communitarian approach vests ownership in an individual, but like the socialist system, it empowers the government to make decisions regarding use. Remember, the essence of private property is the owner's determination of use, so long as they're not harming their neighbor in their exercise of that right. The guiding vision of communitarian or Fabian economics is modeled on Italian fascism, and we see it across the country now through the workings of our local government. Communitarians in Santa Cruz and everywhere else seek to create various rights that conflict with an owner's determination of use. The owner controls his, he still owns his property, he pays his taxes, but it's the government, as the arbiter of competing rights, who controls what he can do with it. Socialism and third-way corporate privatizations, or public-private partnerships, each form the foundation for a state collective backed by force that abolishes private property and treats human beings as biological resources. So, communitarianism, like socialism, is authoritarian.
And most people really don't understand that. They really think that, you know, well, we have to live in a civilized society. There has to be rules and regulations. And I would simply ask, why? Who's going to determine how many rules and regulations we have? Because once you leave it up to the bureaucrats to begin make rules and regulations, they just never stop.
Well, that's certainly the case. You know, Santa Cruz used to be regarded as the anomaly, but you know, the crazy political spirit in Santa Cruz has successfully imbued itself throughout the country, because it was the federal government that had the concepts of sustainable development first in hand. Santa Cruz was an early test implementer of these policies, and now they're in every county in the country. So if you're not living in Santa Cruz, you're worried about these things, you can know that what's hit Santa Cruz fully is coming to your community as well, because it has come to the United States Congress, it has come to U.S. courts, including the United States Supreme Court. Sustainable development is the political process that is being, that's more than incubated today, that is being implemented throughout this country. Its goal is the abolition of private property and the subjugation of all human beings to their rule. You know, and if you really dig into the sustainable documents, these are the Agenda 21 document out of the Rio, United Nations Rio Conference in 1992, as well as the Global Biodiversity Report that came out of the same UN conference. If you really examine these documents, they call not only for the abolition of private property, but the reduction of human population, assuming an industrialized society, to 1 billion people worldwide. Now that's a reduction of nearly 85% of the existing population. Sustainable development is not just anti-private property, it is anti-human. It is pro-elitist, and there is no one listening to this radio show tonight who's going to find their life improved by the further implementation of these policies that seek the abolition of private property. Dan?
Oh, go right ahead, Michael.
Well, the issue of our day is the protection of private property. It is stalling off, staving off, and ultimately destroying this political movement, globalist political movement, called sustainable development. There are many arms to sustainable development beyond its abolition of private property and its whole property dynamic. But we can understand it most easily by understanding its land use element. Sustainable development has an educational element, and it has a population control and reduction element. But the land use element breaks into two categories. One's called the Wildlands Project. That's all rural areas. People are to be stripped off of the land, and over half of the continental United States land mass, they're to be moved into so-called smart growth communities, which are stack 'em and pack 'em housing units along rail lines, where people's lives will be completely ordered. You say, well, there's no way we can support the population that exists today with such a backward economic dynamic that is so centrally controlled. And I say, well, that's true, and they recognize that, and that's why they call for a worldwide population of 1 billion people. There's 6.5 billion today. That means a lot of havoc beyond the destruction of private property is in store for us if we don't recognize timely the classic battle of ideas, this battle between sustainable development policy and freedom and private property, is something that the American people cannot continue to sleep on for much longer, because much more time will give the sustainable developers all of the time they need to cause the transformation of America's economic system and that of the world, along with the transformed educational system, which is already in effect. And, if we don't bring attention and a stoppage to that kind of movement within a relatively short period of time, I suspect, it will simply be too late for our posterity. And really, even for ourselves, if you're a baby boomer, you're going to feel this effect in your own life if we don't come to some recognition in fairly short order.
And I think people have to understand there really are people who have a plan to eliminate most of the population of the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Michael Shaw, Freedom Advocates. And Michael, before we go on, let's go ahead and get your webpage out, information on how people can reach you. And do you want to take any calls, or shall we just go ahead with the discussion?
Oh, I think taking some calls is always an exciting affair.
All right, fine. Well, then, our telephone number here in the Central Coast is of California, 464-8295. And out across America, where we have literally tens of thousands of people listening, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Michael Shaw, and he's been studying this issue of private property and how this fits into these concepts of sustainable development, public-private partnerships, population control, believe me, there is a program of population control. War is a very efficient means of population control. Why do you think that we absolutely refuse to intervene in Rwanda? We're not doing anything about the slaughter that's going on in Darfur today. Why do you think that we've done nothing to stop the slaughter in the Congo, where about 4 million people have been slaughtered? Why are we not doing anything logical to try to stop the spread of AIDS in Africa, where in many of the parts of the continent, 25%, 35%, 45% of the adult population is now infected? Doctors know how to stop epidemics, sexually transmitted diseases. Why have efforts been consistently made to block efforts to stop deadly diseases? Well, we talk, oh my goodness, there's a 3 new cases of bird flu out the world, and one of them died. And yet, of course, we totally ignore the major epidemics that are killing millions of people. throughout the world every day. Well, let's go right ahead. Michael, let's get your address, your telephone number, your web page out.
Well, our web page is freedomadvocates.org. We used to be called Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. We've had a recent name change and a new and updated website as a result of that. So I really recommend to listeners that they go to that website. You'll get all the information at whatever level you want to dig into it on sustainable development, the governing documents, the U.S. commitment, and the effects, practical effects of what we are experiencing and will continue to experience as we further implement sustainable development policies. Our phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. Or our website at freedomadvocates.org. We issue a periodic report that we would encourage listeners to sign up for. Easy process at our webpage. Your information is kept confidential and not spun off to anyone else, but we just keep you updated with both the philosophy and the practice of sustainable development, not just in Santa Cruz, but in locations across the country. So it is a good resource, not the only resource on this subject matter, but a very good one for getting yourself fully understanding of what our country is experiencing and going through. And, boy, at that point, once you've got an understanding, then it becomes, you know, your opportunity to go out and spread that information to friends and relatives and townspeople in your community so that you can begin to establish the defense against having these policies implemented at your local community. Here in Santa Cruz, back in the 80s, you know, the big thing was sporting these bumper stickers on your car that says, "Think global, act local." Well, that's sustainable development. If you've had any exposure to the think global, that means global governance. Act local, that means take the steps to make it happen in your town today. You then have seen sustainable development policy in its cute expression right in your own home. And of course, in Santa Cruz, that was the rage back in the 80s. And today, they would say, those who are proposing this would say, we're winning. It's only now a matter of time before we have control of the political economics of Santa Cruz, California, the U.S., and the world.
And, of course, what they really don't understand is most of these idealistic Marxists who have gotten involved in this is that they're doing the work of the very people they oppose, because this is an elitist concept. It is the Rockefellers, it's the Mellons, it's the Ford Foundation, it's the Carnegie Foundations, the Craytech Exempt Foundations, and the wealthy elite who are really pushing this thing at the national and international level. And they're using the shock troops, the old line Marxists, who hate the elitists, you know, to carry out their programs. And they're just not smart enough to understand that from the very inception of communism and socialism, it has been financed by people of great wealth who would break down the concepts of limited government that once made America unique. It was the hallmark of our society, a society where people could be free, and of course contributed to the ever-increasing centralization of power in Washington, D.C. and the international level. That's what it's all about, and the poor local Marxists here are working so hard thinking locally. Of course, are being simply utilized to accomplish exactly what their enemies would have them accomplish. Well, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question for our guest?
Well, a couple of comments, if I could. I wanted, in the area of the spiritual underpinnings, at least at the grassroots level of what's going on with sustainability, we need to add, I'd like to add just a little bit to the definition of sustainability, and that is, at least the way it's promoted to the people out in the hinterlands doing the work, is that the earth can only sustain so much of this and so much of that. Like so many people, they want to get it down to a half a billion, the total population worldwide, and any number of things, only so many cars and roads and means of production. And but there's also a spiritual aspect to it that works against private property, and that comes from within the Buddhist line of thinking, which says that if you own property, then you are tied to the earth spiritually, or you are tied to the world. And the whole idea of spiritual progression in the Buddhist system is to free yourself from the world. And so I just wanted to say this to bring up the spiritual aspect of the sustainability movement.
All right, well, let's get Michael's thoughts on that. Michael, have you thought at all about is there a spiritual component to this whole move towards sustainable development?
Well, sure there is. I mean, if you relate to the Western experience or to Christian religions, you have a built-in belief that it is wrong to steal. Sustainable development, at its core, is about stealing everybody's property. So, at least in that measure of things, sustainable development is based in a spirituality, that is, that it is right to steal, and it is a spirituality that is directly in conflict with Judeo-Christian tradition, as well as certainly the American political tradition. You know, in our work, we tend to focus on the political dynamic as opposed to the spiritual dynamic, because that's what we understand better. But for those who say this is a spiritual battle as well, I think they're absolutely right. So people have to decide if they want to join into this defense of freedom for either political reasons or spiritual reasons. But when you really boil the political reasons down, they're predicated on a sense of morality and spirituality that works.
Okay.
Well, the proponents of sustainability elevate themselves very arrogantly in a spiritual sense, upholding themselves as being some enlightened beings that don't need to own property, while all along they have to take advantage of those who have worked hard for their livings and their property. And what was the other thing? they point the finger at property owners and those who work hard as being greedy, while they themselves are the greedy ones who want to have everything for nothing in the name of their own pseudo-spirituality.
And they want to take it away from the curse of productive people. And thanks very much for coming back. I think the points are well made. And what this is really all about is the ability to take away from the productive people and using the power of law, using the power of government that they, of course, have amassed, it is to oppress the productive people until pretty soon nobody any longer is productive, and you end up with a society that just doesn't work, such as the Soviet Union. I recently had the opportunity to do an interview a man named Yuri Velchitsky, who actually had written a book along with Alexander Litvinenko. It was called Blowing Up Russia. And of course, the KGB, FSB, had come to London and murdered Litvinenko. But what Yuri told me, and it seemed at least a little incongruous, you know, he's a Russian dissident, Russian scholar, lives in the United States, writes history books, but he said, you go to Russia even today, and you go an hour outside of either St. Petersburg or Moscow, and you're back in the 19th century. And he told me that about three times when I talked to him, and I got thinking about it. 19th century, that's 1800s. That's where, you know, you got horse-drawn and cow-drawn wagons and things like that. And how could that be in Russia? Why, very simply, because even today, even though Russia is very, very well-off economically, because the United States has funded the drilling of their oil and gas wells, the very infrastructure of that country is still primitive because they've destroyed the initiative from the hearts of men. Well, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Jack, did you have a question for our guest?
Oh, yes. Private property, as it's mentioned in the Federal Charter Constitution, I was wondering if that property, our private property, exists within the jurisdiction, because these amendments, they, like, in the 13th and 14th Amendment, it says, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, really to identify where the legal authority of the corporate United States exists and extends to. So, if our private property exists in a nation-state republic venue, how can it come under the jurisdiction of a municipal corporation?
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts at all about that?
Well, I'm maybe a little confused about what the point Jack is trying to make. I mean, certainly corporations, their growth, their multinational nature, their increasing lack of respect, even lack of support of American political economic principles is quite clear. I'm not convinced, I know there are those who are, that means we should abandon the concept of corporate formation. I think what we need to do in that regard is to practice the principles of private property, apply them to associations that are formed as corporations, and be consistent in our principles. I don't think we have to abandon the idea of corporate association.
Well, I think, of course, that there is a great deal of thought went into the writing of our Constitution. And whenever the words life and liberty are used, they always use the word property. They always are associated together, because private property and the ability to use your private property is the very hallmark, the very foundation of liberty. You're not free if you can't use your property. And property, whether it be something you've created, something you've written, or something you own, in the way of a house or land, that is, you have to have that. If you can't accumulate property and hold property, then there's no way to accumulate wealth. And without the accumulation of wealth, there is no freedom. Go ahead.
Well, and there's no way to express yourself. If you can't own property, it's through property. I mean, as a landowner, I express myself by managing the plants to create this dynamic where California native plants control the landscape. And so we create some very interesting dynamics. But without the concept of private property, there's no incentive to cause improvement. The improvement that one causes through private property extends benefits to many people. And that's why its elimination necessitates massive reductions in human populations. So unless you're a mass killer, and the psychology of a mass killer, if you're informed, there's no way you can support sustainable development policies, because they do call for the elimination of private property and the reduction of human population. And there's something, you can talk about that at a spiritual level or a social level or an economic level. I don't care what level you talk about it. It is a repugnant idea that is long overdue for rejection in this country.
Yeah, but I think, of course, the basic thing, Michael, is we have to let people understand there really is a master plan. These people are, these are not theoretical ideas. These people have actually written down exactly what they intend. I mean, the whole idea of sustainable development was laid out by a group of people on the ship Britannia, the Prince Charles Roaring Yacht, back in 1991. I mean, many of the great industrial leaders and bankers and Al Gore were there. They're all laying out these programs. Of course, this whole scam of global warming is simply an effort to increase government control over every aspect of our lives. Al Gore is an elitist, as were all the other people who were there. And of course, these people have a different concept of the world, and they really want to dramatically decrease the population. And Al Gore has his 10,000-square-foot luxury home and his big SUVs, but he talks against this sort of thing for the common people. And until people understand that these things are laid out, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, just try to get an analysis of this someplace, and you'll find it so difficult unless you really do the research and begin to study these move towards population control and of course people control them, and of course these programs that are put on in universities to teach the local bureaucrats how to take away people's freedom, how to take away their property. Well, our guest this evening has been Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. Again, the telephone number to call, Michael?
831-684-2232. We have tons of tools that you can use in your own neighborhood and within your own community for explaining the nature of sustainable development, the policies that you're seeing locally for implementing sustainable development. It's only through spreading that kind of information that we stand any chance of protecting freedom for the next generation.
Amen to that. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Mike, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think I'd summarize this conversation this way. To be who you are, to own your own self and the product of your energy, and to possess the authority and responsibility for your actions, well, these are the foundations for your pursuit of happiness. A society with increasing aggregation of happiness promotes peace and prosperity. Such a society pursues the ideals and institutions of individual liberty and its corollary, private property. It's time for American people to come to the defense of their neighbors when the government is threatening their use and determination of the activities on their property. If we don't do that, it is only a matter of a planned timetable before suburban housing is going to be gone in the U.S. They're raising suburban developments all over England now and placing people in Stackman, Packham, smart growth housing along railroad tracks. That is coming to the United States in Santa Cruz County. An editorial was published in our local New World Order newspaper just a month ago calling for the west side of Santa Cruz. Now, these are lovely single-family homes built several decades ago, calling for the conversion of the entire west side of Santa Cruz into a smart growth development. That means raising the single-family homes and putting up Stack'em and Pack'em smart growth units. This is coming to the doorstep of every liberal-thinking person in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, because I think people, at least in our area where we live, have to realize the effort to buy up the train tracks here. And as they say, oh, yeah, it's going to be economically feasible. Well, we can make money on this. We can have a freight train that carries a freight for 5 miles. I think they paid a couple of $100,000 to come up with this clever idea. A freight train to carry freight 5 miles and all the profits of that. Why we can make this whole thing work. I mean, what insanity is that? What they really want to do is, of course, use that area to put in their stacked-up housing. That's the master plan. And there's not one person in 1,000 in our community who really understands what's going on, is there, Michael?
Well, I think our numbers are better than that. The numbers remain quiet. We're still clearly a minority. But the cards are stacked in our favor.
I
say that around the country. I say that liberally minded people.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael, just finish your thoughts off. We were talking about, are we making progress? Are more people coming to see what's really going on?
I think so. And I hear that from all the people around the country that we coordinate with. But I look at a local level, and I take an area like Santa Cruz, which has a definite leftist politic, how many leftist-thinking people really want to subscribe to a political philosophy that calls for economic fascism? When people understand sustainable development, if you're on the right, you don't like the communist social policy, and if you're on the left, you don't like the fascist economic policy. The promoters of sustainable development say there is something for everybody here. But the reality is that when you understand what it's really all about, there's nothing for anybody because it's a fascist communist system that is being developed under the guise called sustainable development.
And it all has to do with control.
Yes.
There's no problem facing America today, global warming, overpopulation, and it can't be solved with a new series of government laws. Michael, we're out of time. God bless you.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you later. Great.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that's Michael Shawn. Let me just suggest that he has some excellent material on sustainable development. If you go to his website, freedomadvocates.org or .com. And then, of course, we do hope that if you'd like to know more, we have an excellent syllabus on sustainable development that has the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report summarized. It's 1,142 pages. We've been able to cut it down very, very shortly. The syllabus contains the Earth Charter, and it contains the Population Control Agenda monograph, and it contains the World Bank Water Policy, and all sorts of things that you need to have to understand what's going on. You'll see the Georgia Guidestones. You'll learn about Marie Strong, the multi-billionaire who talks about the necessity of destroying civilization to save the world. I mean, that's crazy talk, but you have to understand there are people who look at the world differently. The Sustainable Development Syllabus, the talk on sustainable development, a video, the four-tape set on sustainable development, available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like information on them. If you'd like to understand population control, my talk on Nundare College genocide, planned population reduction, which is really sort of an expansion of Nundare College genocide, the population control video, the population control four-tape set, my monograph on the population control agenda. And then, of course, one of the more interesting things we have going into how they're poisoning our children and children throughout the world because they hate children. The DVD by Dr. David Ayoub, entitled Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. And, of course, it comes with a free CD-ROM that has thousands of pages of government and other scientific documents that will help you understand how they're poisoning our children with mercury and with vaccines. And they know exactly what they're doing, and of course they're poisoning the minds of the elderly with mercury, and that's why we have an epidemic of autism, of Alzheimer's disease. And but of course the government says Alzheimer's disease is going to double or triple in the next 20 years, but oh shucks, we have no idea why it's happening. They know exactly why it's happening. They just don't want you to be able to protect yourself or your loved ones. You need to get our material on mercury, certainly on mercury and mercury update, four tape sets, our talk by Dr. Ayoub, mercury autism, the global biodiversity, pardon me, and the global population agenda. Mercury autism and the global population agenda, and get those thousands of pages of research that he's has there on his CD-ROM, which you get along with either the DVD or the videotape. And then join us in this struggle, because there really are evil and wicked people out there who intend to kill off the majority of the world's population. And people say that's crazy talk, and I would simply ask, why do you think they're so intent upon actually getting us into a war with Iran, where hundreds of millions of people could die? They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Well, certainly our guest this evening hopefully is going to be Bob Fletcher. I wish we had him on the line, but hopefully we'll have him here before long. And certainly we're going to be talking about weather warfare. And there really is the ability to change the weather and create storms. A lot of people are saying, you know, well, we're seeing such strange weather today. Now, we do not know whether, of course, these are normal weather variations or whether this is intentionally done by the people who have the ability to create storms and droughts. But we do know, of course, that they have that ability. And I would suggest you go back to a book written in 1970 by one of the leaders of the Trilateral Commission. His name was Zygmunt Brzezinski. In fact, Zygmunt Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger, along with David Rockefeller, are certainly among those people who really run the world today. But back in 1970, Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote a book entitled Between Two Ages. And in that book, Between Two Ages, why he... well, the footnote at the bottom of one of the pages, he talked about the fact that there was that certainly by the year 2000 or 2018, something like that, that we would be able, of course, to create storms and droughts, and then, of course, that they'd be able to create new chronic diseases so you could defeat the enemy. Well, of course, we see the enemies, the new chronic diseases. Many of these are engineered diseases that are plaguing mankind today. And people say, why would anybody want to create diseases? Either we wanted to control diseases, and that's because you're looking at things from a logical point of view. But the reality is there really are evil and wicked people out there who have a different world view. And they really do want to create lethal diseases, like AIDS is certainly a genetically created disease that has a propensity for blacks. That's why we see so much of it in the black population in Africa. We do not see the epidemic breaking out in America other than in the black population in the United States, because this is a specific genetically created disease. And they have that ability. You can certainly read the Rebuilding America's Defenses report put out by the Project for the New American Century. And if you were to read that report, you'll find out that they talk about how it's going to be possible to have these new diseases that allow them to go after specific races of people, genetically altered diseases that will be race-specific. When you understand that this sort of thing really does exist, and there are people who look at the world through a different worldview, why it's much easier to understand what's going on. Well, since we're having some difficulty getting our regularly scheduled guests, I'm simply going to open up our lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and hope that our producer is going to be able to get Mr. Fletcher on the line. Bob Fletcher is an old friend. We've had him on many, many times before. And if we can just track him down, why, hopefully we'll be able to have him come and tell us about the work he has done through the years on weather modification, weather control. There are actually companies out there that hire themselves out to various countries, and they can create storms. It's been known for many years, and so the military has been working on this for many years, but they can't let the American people know that they have the ability to change the direction of the Gulf Stream and so many other things. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let's see if we can, who we have on the line here. Let's see who's on the line, and we'll be back in just a moment here. I guess it's Mike calling in. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I'd like to answer Jack's question from the last hour, and I think it connects with what you're talking about now, because it's all fascism. It's what you're talking about for this hour, if you get your guess, it's all controlled by fascists. But Jack asked a great question. He said, how can the corporations do this when they are a created entity? I don't think I can rephrase this question quite accurately. He did it very well. I wanted to answer that they can do what they do through economic power. There is a real economic power structure out there that they have put in place that is so far beyond in scope than any military or political or legislative power that any of our nations have. This is true fascism. You know a quote, Dr. Stan, by one of the Rockefellers to the effect of, give me control over a nation's financial system and I care not who makes its laws. With your encyclopedic memory, do you have that on the tip of your tongue?
I think you're referring to a quotation that comes from the Rothschild, and give me control of the manufacture of the currency, and I care not who makes its laws.
Okay, Rothschild then. Well, the same thing. They don't care, and they do have the power, and they're exercising it. And it is global fascism. We need to understand their power is the economic sector of the global system.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate your remarks. Well, we're going to have, I guess, open lines. If Barbara's listening, it could possibly bring my little computer out to the studio. Otherwise, we may be able to track down Bob Fletcher. Otherwise, we're going to open the lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And going along with what Mike was talking about, John Perkins has written another book. It talks about America's empire. And very, very few people have really stopped and thought about this. John Perkins has an amazing story. If you have not yet read his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, or heard our 4-tape set of interviews with John Perkins, let me recommend it to you. Our 4-tape set, or 4-CD set, is called Economic Hitman, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we're going to do open lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, we'll talk about what you want to talk about. But basically, Mr. Perkins tells the story in his book, Economic Hitman, of having started out as an idealistic young man and having gone to work in the Peace Corps for a time, and then having been recruited by the National Security Administration to enter a very, very highly specialized profession, to become an economic hitman, to work for corporations sent into countries throughout the world, to write glowing reports about why this country should borrow a great deal of money to perhaps develop electrical facilities, or to develop port facilities, or to develop some part of their infrastructure. And the whole idea was to get these countries into debt. And once you have a country in debt, of course, usually the money that you lend does not benefit the people. It benefits those people in power. They take the money, put it in their Swiss bank account, and leave the country and leave the people impoverished with this massive domestic debt. And many of the countries are putting out 50% of all the money they raise in taxes just to pay off the interest on the debts, for the money that's funneled back in the United States. The money is lent by the World Bank. What most people don't understand is this is not a World Bank. It's a United States government-controlled bank, although, of course, the United States only holds about 16% of the stock, but that, of course, by the time we get the Japanese and the Germans, where we occupy those countries, we own certainly about a third of the stock, and we're able then to direct the course of the World Bank. The president of the World Bank always comes from the United States, and the World Bank and the IMF, working in concert with a number of other organizations, are able to have created a world empire. Now, most people like to think of America as a free country that is advocating freedom and democracy throughout the world, but the truth of the matter is, the United States has troops stationed in over 130 nations throughout the world. The United States has over 700 military bases throughout the world. Does that sound like we're really concerned about supporting in our own country or pushing democracy throughout the world? And as Mr. Perkins makes out very clearly in his new book on the American Empire, the America has an empire today, and that empire is being used to dominate the world and, of course, to force all nations into following our specific goals and objectives. And what is that objective? Why, it is, of course, this one world order and the new world religion. Now, Mr. Perkins is a very nice man and a very smart man who has a great deal of experience, but he doesn't understand the spiritual forces which are energizing this move towards American empire. I do hope, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'll give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because we'd like to know what you think about what we're talking about. But I think these issues are so vitally important. Now, certainly Mr. Perkins talks about when he actually worked in this system and how it really worked. It was all built upon these ideas that we were going to help people, or we were going to be fighting communism, or we had to go into these countries to build them up economically, or else the communists would come and get them. Whereas, of course, the truth of the matter is, if you've read my March and April newsletters, you'll find out the United States has been funding communism since its inception. And in fact, we even quote Solzhenitsyn's speech about the communist-capitalist alliance that has always been there, where America has always financed the Soviet Union to keep it from collapsing. Why? Because we needed an enemy to get the American people to be willing to pay massive amounts of taxes to support a military establishment that could be used to dominate the world. And we put more money into the American military establishment than all the rest of the countries in the world put together. Now, do you really think that we're doing that to protect ourselves against the wicked communists? And, of course, you've read my March and April newsletters this year, and if they're not posted up on the web, we'd be glad to send you copies of those newsletters. Those newsletters simply document the fact, and my next newsletter, the May 2007 newsletter, will document the fact the United States has been funding and financing the Soviet Union since 1918, and in 1934 the Export-Import Bank was created specifically to fund and stabilize the Soviet Union. In fact, we even have a speech by the head of the Export-Import Bank, Mr. Harmon, back in the year 2000, where he actually, in Moscow, gave a speech saying the purpose of the Export-Import Bank, when it was founded in 1934, was to finance the Soviet Union. Well, when you understand that, then why are we going into countries throughout the world and pouring money into those countries or getting them to take out their loans to build up their infrastructure, to strengthen their economy, to fight the communist incursion in the country? And it's all a scam. The real goal is, the purpose behind this whole idea is America's manifest destiny. And that is this idea of building a world empire and leading the entire world into the new world order, the new world religion. Do you believe this is possible? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I would like to hear what you think and see if you agree. Well, anyway, of course, Mr. Perkins then talks about when he worked in these various countries, and if you had a leader in the countries, and he mentioned several of them. One was the president of Panama, and the other was the president, I believe, of Ecuador, and both of these were honorable men. They were patriots for their own country, and they did not want to encumber their country with massive amounts of debt that would enslave the people. They wanted to help the people in their country, not enrich the elite, who are always there to exploit the political power that exists in those countries. And when you found there was a world leader that you couldn't bribe, that you couldn't corrupt, by one means or another, and he goes into great detail about how they use, of course, threats, how they use assassinations, how they use sex, how they use all sorts of dirty tricks to compromise people. And then, of course, they sent in the jackals, he called them, the CIA, and their job was to simply murder the world leaders that he lists in his book, entitled The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Instance after instance after instance where world leaders have been assassinated because they wouldn't go along with these policies of getting their people emburdened with debt, so that the vast majority of the money that was collected by the individual governments was used to pay off and service the debt. Mr. Perkins pointed out that at least a third of the world, the people live on average on about $2 a day. They live in abject poverty in at least a third of the world today. And when the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank go into those countries, ostensibly to help them, instead of helping them, they're worse off afterwards. And he talks about, at least in his latest book, and this is on the American Empire, how officials of the World Bank have come to him and suddenly, very, very quietly, thanked him for writing his books and told him how disturbed they are that they're working for an organization, whether it be the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund, that is impoverishing people throughout the world, and how badly they feel, but they're simply trapped in this situation. If they try to fight it, they lose their jobs and can't be of any use at all. But how off the record they've come to Mr. Perkins and thanked him for what he's doing. This is a fascinating, fascinating subject. And it takes such a long period of time before one really begins to understand that there are wicked and evil people working at the highest echelons of our government that are using the military and financial power of our government not to help other nations, not to bring democracy to other nations, not to bring peace and prosperity to other nations, but of course to enslave those nations and bring them under the control of this corporatocracy which John Perkins speaks about. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you have a thought on this subject? Do you agree or do you disagree? What part does this movement that John Perkins describes have to do with what's going on in the Middle East today? What part does it have to do with the coming war with Iran? Are we going to have a war with Iran? I fear we are, but I think that we need, of course, to analyze and see where this is going to lead, because I think that they know exactly what they're doing. Well, of course, Mr. Perkins goes into great detail about Saddam Hussein and, of course, how Saddam Hussein had worked for the CIA, was the CIA contract agent and CIA murderer in the past, and had been brought to power by the CIA in Iraq, had been financed. Had Saddam Hussein been simply willing to go along completely with their programs, he would certainly, we never would have gone after Iraq. But Saddam really thought that maybe he would be able to do what he wanted to. He was not willing to completely give up control of his country to the ruling powers, and with that, of course, he had to be destroyed. And, of course, this is, at least according to Mr. Perkins, what led us into the battle with Afghanistan and Iraq and why we're still there. But, of course, what about the next move? And that is what my major concern now, because everything points to the fact we'll soon be at war with Iran. And believe me, that will affect everyone in the audience tonight. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We haven't, are not able to get our guest, Mr. Bob Fletcher, who is supposed to be with us talking about weather warfare for this hour. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, since I have nothing really prepared, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I think it's really very interesting that within the last 48 hours, Senator Lieberman has called for America to go to war with Iran. And he justifies this by saying that he knows that Iran has been providing the explosive devices that are being used to attack American forces in Iraq. And I don't know if it's true or not. I would think that probably it is not, but because I don't think the Iranian leaders would be that stupid to do everything they could to give America a justification for attacking them. But maybe it is true. Under any circumstances, Senator Lieberman's interest is not about, you know, the explosive devices. He is simply representing Israel that wants us to go to war with Iran. But this is not necessarily even in the best interest of Israel, because I fear that if there's a major war in the Middle East, there'll be terrible devastation of Israel. But there is a component within Israeli government that wants to destroy Israel, and that you can only understand that if you've heard some of my interviews with Barry Shamish, who's certainly one of the best-known investigative reporters in Israel, has spent the last 20 years researching Israeli politics and has some fascinating stories. And you certainly want to pull down his programs that we've done on Radio Liberty and go to his website, Barry Shamish, or the Barry Shamish Report, I believe it is, the Barry Shamish Report.org and .com, and get his material and understand that there are people within Israel who belong to a secret society, a secret religious organization, and their goal is to destroy Israel, and that is one reason why they want to push towards a war with Iran, and I really worry that this war is imminent. Well, we've got Will calling from Missouri, so let's see what Will has. And incidentally, if you're out there, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to reinforce or encourage again the listeners to think on a local level as we see more and more of the global devastation going on, and remember that we have a lot of potential power that can be turned into real power at the local level. I just came back from a meeting that we have once a month at the Property Rights Group, and tonight we had about 25 or so people, and we're out in the middle of no place here in the woods of southwest Missouri, and we went through a pretty wide spectrum of events, much like you're discussing right now. But the really unique part of this is that many of these people were unaware of this a year ago. And because we go to the documents and we bring in the sources and bring in the Agenda 21 and the International Property Maintenance Code and whatnot, and lay them out, the real McCoy.
Hold that thought, Will. Be right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and there's going to be open lines, I guess, for this hour. So if you're out there, you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Love to hear from you. We've got Will calling from Missouri. And Will is just saying that he thinks that we can accomplish a great deal by thinking globally but acting locally. That's a liberal term, but it does work, and he's mentioned how even there in Missouri they're getting people educated about sustainable development. They have the documents. They are educating people. And of course, really, you're very lucky to live in Missouri in many respects, well, because you know, you've got a fairly conservative legislature. My friend John Stromer has gone to the state capitol there once a week, I think it's every Wednesday for the last 30 years, to teach a Bible study for the elected representatives there to your assembly and or your house and your senate. And as a result, you know, a lot of those people are really doing a pretty good job, and Missouri certainly is one of the better states we have in the union, don't you think?
Well, I can't speak from experience from the rest of the states. I've lived in several, but I can say this, that from a rural standpoint, when we start laying out the global agenda and letting people understand thoroughly that as globalism transitions or makes its transition from global to local, we can be effective right at the local level and block it as it comes into the counties. And so rather than really using their term or their slogan, think globally and act locally, I've turned it around and become vocal local. We know what their agenda is. We can expose the agenda for what it is, but it's through broadcasts like yours and through the materials, your book, the newsletters, the actual UN documents, the material from Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, we can actually put this material out into a greater and greater number of hands. And what I've found over the past 2 years is that more and more people's oxes are being gored by this global agenda. And as the people start to see the diminishing of their liberty and their democracy, if you will, then they become a little bit more receptive to what's happening. But when they can actually see it in the local newspaper where Agenda 21 is being implemented in a very, very low population county of only a little over 20,000, when they can see that, then it makes it a lot easier to start talking about the other issues. One of the things that we're still trying to struggle with is getting candidates groomed up to be able to run so that we can start to replace some of the elected people that are continuing, even though they are conservative and Republican, but they're still advancing what you consider the neocon agenda. And if we can just start turning that around, and we've got a good base started now, and it's growing, but it's also now starting to spread out into other counties. Tonight we were represented, I think, with four different counties at our meeting. And that's what I mean by getting vocal local and the impact that we can actually have at the local level.
And I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's so vitally important that people like you are out there, well, and especially that you have access to the information, and as you point out, the information that is available through Freedom Advocates or Freedom 21, through Michael Shaw's organization and similar organizations across the country. You know, certainly, if you listen to our program, is why we try to get some of the leading people who've done the research. They've got little pamphlets. They've got original historical documents, can put you in touch with the books, get you in touch with the legislation. And when people understand that there really is an organized plan out there to take away their property and their property rights and their freedom, that's when they really begin to get involved. And that you can't tell them too much, you scare them to death, that they really understood the implications of what's going on. And so it sounds to me like you're doing a pretty good job on educating the people there.
Well, we're working on it, and I'd like to be able to encourage this evening the other listeners to think right where, to act right where they are. Think right where you are. So many times I've heard in the past basically all of the reasons why we can't do something. Maybe they don't have the time, or maybe they don't have the money, or maybe they don't know all the facts, or maybe they don't know all the details. But when they finally get the idea that they can start on a shoestring and just get a few simple documents and begin working right there where they are, that they too, in just a few months, can start to have some real successes. And I thank you for all of the newsletters and the material I've received from you, Dr. Stan, because it really helps in this battle.
Well, I'm glad that it is, and God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Will.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Will calling from Missouri. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call. What are your thoughts about what's going on? And are you induced to open lines? We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is going to be an open line program, I guess, this evening. I haven't had much luck getting hold of our regularly scheduled guests, so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so if you'd certainly like to give us a call, we'll talk about what you want to. Otherwise, of course, we're going to talk about my concern about the coming war in the Middle East. Now, it was in the last week why they've simply Bush administration has replaced General Pace, who is a four-star Marine general in charge of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I believe this is in preparation for the coming war with the Middle East. Now, there are a number of our generals and admirals who are very unhappy about this. They think there's absolutely no sense at all going to war with Iran. In fact, if you've ever read my articles about General Zinni, General Anthony Zinni, a four-star Marine general, and you can go up on the internet, if you Google in Radio Liberty and then General Zinni, where they'll take you to my articles on him. That's many times how I will find out what month I did a letter a couple of months ago, and Yahoo's been very, very cooperative of indexing my newsletters for us. But General Zinni, of course, was the at the time of the attack on Iraq, was the commander of CENTCOM. That was the whole Middle East area. And he said, you know, I had read all of the intelligence. I knew everything there was to know about Iraq, and there was no reason to go to war with Iraq. Iraq was not a danger to the United States. The United States should have finished the war in Afghanistan, have gone after Osama bin Laden, and wiped out al-Qaeda, and ended the war on terrorism. Instead of that, of course, they attacked Iraq, and of course it's created the problem where we are today. And if you read, of course, the interview he did with CBS, he in essence is saying everything we've done is wrong, and he lets it very, very clearly that Paul Bremer, because he doesn't mention Paul Bremer as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, but he does mention that Paul Bremer made some serious mistakes, although he tries to be as diplomatic as he can about Mr. Bremer. In the final analysis, General Zinni is a Marine, and he lets people know that, you know, this was a terrible mistake where we are today. We never should have gone to war in Iraq. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our regularly scheduled guest is not available, so it's just going to be you and me. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd love to talk to you since I have nothing really prepared. But as I was just saying, that many of our admirals and many of our generals are very concerned about the prospect of a war with Iran. And rightly they should be. Because, of course, what they do not understand is we're being set up for a terrible catastrophe. If you believe in population control, one of the most efficient means of population control is a massive bloody war. And, of course, the potential for this is simply unparalleled. If we do attack Iran, why, can we object to Iran attacking us back again? We have over in the Middle East today probably about 160,000 American troops, mostly centered around the enclosure there, the embassy in Baghdad. And if you don't think that the Iranians will target that area with missiles and wipe out as many troops as they can, you're mistaken. Iran is already amassing troops along the border with Iraq. And, of course, our troops there in Iraq, it would be in an open battle, a military battle with Iranians. The Iranians lost 1 million men in the last war. Are we willing to lose 1 million men in this war? The Iranians have some very sophisticated weapons that have been given to them by the Russians, weapons that can knock out our planes with the coming in, missiles that can hit Israel and can hit Europe. They have, of course, very sophisticated surface-to-ship missiles that have been provided by our good friends the Russians, who we have been transferring the technology to so they can build the weapons, and those weapons will be able to take out our carriers. Our carriers are not immune to attack, and my fear is that when those carriers are attacked, we could lose hundreds if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of American troops. Because we not only have the carriers there, we have Bonhomme Richard, which is, of course, an attack unit. It has about 8 ships in it. It probably carries 15,000 Marines or so. And those ships would be very, very vulnerable to attack. And don't think for one minute that we cannot get into some very, very serious problems. Well, we've got, thank goodness, Bob Fletcher on the line right now. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Hi. Okay.
Did we call the wrong number? How was it?
Apparently, somehow they got the wrong number, and so we've sort of missed out on 30 minutes here.
All right, fine. Well, we got the best 30 minutes anyway. I guess Bob Fletcher, I've known for a long period of time, and Bob is certainly been studying this whole idea of weather and weather modification. So why don't you pick up and tell the story?
Well, I guess the big point, Stan, actually, at this point in time, going way back to 1994, was when I first started doing, 94 was actually, I had already been doing 10 years of research on government corruption. And in 94, 95, I testified before the United States Senate, the Intelligence Committee, in reference to use and the creation of electronics being utilized by some parts of the secret government to alter the weather. And along with the weather alterations, we had talked and discussed several other major problems that were taking place. Now, again, the big point in terms of corrupted government and trying to move us into one world government and a total fascist state in the United States, things that we had discovered not only was the weather control, which, by the way, we're talking electronic weather control, not just seeding the clouds. And, of course, back in 1995, this is over 10 years ago now at this point in time, when I spoke before the Senate and the Congress, of course, were incredulous. They just thought that was the craziest thing in the world, that any members of our government had the ability to do any of these things. And of course, the truth is, a few of them probably knew that in fact they certainly were doing it, and some of them actually probably didn't know, because we have this huge vacuum and lack of knowledge and education of what's really going on with so many of the Senate and our congressional leaders.
Well, Bob, you're talking about how they can actually change the weather electronically, because we all know about cloud seeding, but what is this idea of changing the weather electronically?
Well, and basically what it amounts to, and putting it in fairly simple, is that it's a superheating of the atmosphere, the ionosphere, way, way up fairly high up elevations, and doing it with plasma beams or the equivalent of microwaves, if you will, that would superheat a given area of the atmosphere or the ionosphere, and therefore causing low pressures, which would actually cause either the creation of weather or the manipulation, expanding of a storm, the creation of a storm, or even the directional movement of a storm.
But are you really talking about HARP, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project?
That's part of it. That's not the whole thing, that's for sure. But we're pretty positive that the HARP was, of course, part of it, which is this huge 40 or 50 acres of electronic transmission equipment located up in Alaska. But what's important to note, Stan, at this point in time, is that when the Senate and the Congress talked to me about it sounding ludicrous or something they pretended that they didn't know anything about, as of course, in the year 2005 and 2006, they passed what's called the Weather Modification Research Policy bill in the United States Congress and the Senate. This actually is to be an oversight research board that would oversight all weather modification operations taking place in the United States. And so therefore, now at this point, as of the 109th Congress, we have the actual law and a bill and the creation passed, the law being passed by the Senate and the Congress, directly in reference to exactly what they laughed about 10 years ago in 95. So 10 years later, in 2005, they sit down and they say, well, now it's time to create this this actual ongoing board to oversee manipulation and creation of weather. So I guess it's sort of an I told you so situation. Simultaneously, we were warning people back in 1994-95 about the idea that they would be creating, they would put together whatever was necessary to scare the public, to allow them to expand the police state. We talked very specifically about the bombing or the destruction of buildings in big cities, and of course that was followed by, at first it was followed by the building in Oklahoma being blown up, and then it was followed additionally, of course, more recently with what took place in 9/11, with the blowing up of, having airplanes blow up buildings in New York City, giving them the excuse, of course, to create the Homeland Security expanded unconstitutional laws. And these are things, again, this is an I told you so. These are things that are physically in the expose videos and the tapes and the DVDs that I had created in 94 and 95 and 96, that far back. We had all of these things. We put them out very clearly and warned people that these were the actions that were going to be taking place. And it includes the weather control. And we also at that time had discovered the very first of the overseas secret prisons. I wrote about it and talked about it back in 94, 95. And of course, these are the prisons, for example, in Poland and Romania that are the Central Intelligence prisons where they are picking up Americans and anyone else under the new laws of the Homeland Security and secretly imprisoning an unknown number of people. People disappear in both Europe and the United States, and they just vanish, and they just go into that missing persons log. And in fact, there is a group of them that are Central Intelligence prisoners within foreign nation prisons, some of which that we actually own ourselves with a company called Wackenhut out of Miami. And some of them, of course, are cooperatively owned by the foreign countries that we go to and put the prisoners in there, and they just torture, do whatever they have to do to get information or to do whatever they want to, just get somebody out of the system. They certainly can do that now, and they do it legally. They're doing it legally because these are the laws that we have permitted them to pass under this this pretense of Homeland Security. It's really amazing when you go back and you can look at what we were doing in the Patriot Movement in 1990 through 1996 and 98, and the reports that we put together, every single thing, including the national identification cards, that everybody said we were crazy, that they would never try to put a national ID on the American people. Today they are physically, they've already passed the bill.
Because basically what they have to use the threat of terrorism. Oh my goodness, you know, how are we going to identify the terrorists unless, of course, everybody carries a national ID card? Or how are we ever going to, of course, identify the illegal immigrants that we've intentionally allowed to come into the country, you know, unless, of course, we require the law-abiding citizens to carry a national ID card? So they create the problem, and then, of course, they always have a solution. And that solution is they want everybody to be numbered, everybody regulated, everybody to be followed, everybody watched, everybody in their database. everybody to be listened to, and this, they do this with the Echelon Project, and they've been doing that for at least 20 years, where they read everybody's emails and everybody's faxes, and they listen to everybody's telephone conversations with my computer, and if there's any question, why they immediately, of course, I get human beings to counter this. It's done by the NSA. There's all sorts of material on this on the up of the Internet, and the average American has never heard of it because of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think.
As a matter of fact, as we speak about the identification, national identification card, and of course we spoke back literally in 94, 95, 96, and I completed some of my video exposés. I talked about the secret exotic weapons with microwaves and things of that sort. And we talked about government corruption going towards the injectable identification, which would be an ID that actually would be injected under the skin in some manner. What I said that they would do back 10 years, 11, 12 years ago, Stan, was I said they will initiate this identification thing. It will be in the form of a card. It will be first done by an ID card. Everybody will have to have one, or you will not be able to do anything. You will not be allowed into a federal building. You will not be able to drive a vehicle. You won't be able to open a checking account or own any kind of a property unless you have this card. Then what they are going to do, and I hope everybody listens and pays attention because this is absolutely what will take place, they will run this card, have it put out, and work out all the basic little glitches and difficulties at the state level. Then they will come back and they are going to say, we are having too many successful forgeries of these ID cards. And so what we must do, again, to protect the people and protect us from bad guys, etc., we are going to have to convert it to something that cannot be counterfeited. So they will simply move this identification card into that injectable chip. And at this point in time, they have microchips small enough to literally be injected. Now, back in 94, I was able to retrieve and physically have the original injectable little piece that was about the size of a grain of rice. And we actually had the injector. We had gotten one of them, et cetera, when we did some of our reports that far back. But as of today, they are the size of the period or an asterisk on the line of a typewritten page. The period at the end of the sentence is now the size of the microchip that they already have finished and done. And that will, in fact, end up being injected into every American if you want to live in America. It's going to be just that simple. And again, as I say, it's maybe a little childish to use the term, but I have to say that those of us that were doing these reports so many years ago, this is an I told you so situation. All of these things, the expanded laws that will regulate weapons, and of course eventually terminate them, the weapons in the hands of private citizens, the national identification, the electronic ID, and all of these things were absolutely, and the weather control and the weather modification, to utilize it as a means of destroying property and putting countries into financial grief, etc., etc. These are all the things that we said would happen, and that, as we speak today, they're done. There's only a... we literally, I hope everybody understands this, when we're talking about the national identification, we have 1 year. 1 year from this month, next May, in 1 year next May, the national identification card is anticipated to be put into action. It's already signed by the president.
And of course, it has nothing to do with terrorism. If there really was the threat of terrorism, immediately they would have sealed the southern border at the time of the to protect us from terrorists. They have not done it. They are still not doing it. They know that the threat of terrorism has been greatly exaggerated. Much of the terrorist movement has been certainly financed by our own intelligence agencies. Not that there aren't people out there who hate America, and they're just not very well organized. And of course, but down the line, they hope, of course, to create enough hatred on the part of the Islamic world to make the terrorist threat a reality. If we'll hate them, they'll hate us, and then we can have a great war. Well, Bob, would you like to get out your telephone number and your website?
Sure. Yes, if folks are interested, we'll be glad to send them we have a little one-page sheet that describes, a catalog, if you will call it that, but it describes the different investigative videos and DVDs, and we still have, I've maintained the ability to still supply some of the older reports that we did, which are absolutely amazing because it describes everything that's been done by the government, but these were actually completed, and of course they're all dated. They were completed back several years ago, and it explains, one of our tapes, as a matter of fact, goes into detail of the 40 years or 50 years that they've been slowly working to get to this point of fascism that we're at this point. But people can drop me a note, if they will, it's Bob Fletcher at P.O. Box 216, Bayview, B-A-Y-V-I-E-W, Idaho, 83803. That's Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. Bob Fletcher, drop me a note, tell me you're interested, we'll send you off a little catalog. And if they want to email me, you can email me at news@bobfletcher.info. It's news with a little at sign, bobfletcher.info. And we'll get that email and be glad to respond to it. It's amazing, but it's reached a point now, Stan, where everybody better hunker down, as they used to say in the old days. And you got 1 year left. We have about 11 states in the United States that have filed a complaint with the federal government trying to slow down this national identification system. But they're going to get all of those taken care of. From the national view, they will simply blackmail the states with withdrawing and withholding federal funds for schools, for highways, and for whatever federal communications and things of that sort. They will withhold funds from states that do not go along with this.
Well, I just hope and pray that people will be smart enough to realize that the elite and the fascists in Washington, D.C. don't care what the people want. They don't care what their elected representatives want. They have their agenda. They want a society where everybody will be numbered and marked and controlled from the cradle to the grave. And once the people begin to get the idea that freedom is not free, let's hope they'll rally to the flag. God bless you, Bob. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I'm really sorry you didn't get the full hour of Bob Fletcher, because Bob's been around for a long period of time. But if you'd like to get in touch with him, and why, give us a call and we'll put you in touch with him. And he has a lot of great information on weather control, about this whole move towards the fascist society. There really are people who have a different view of the world, and behind them are dark spiritual forces. Now, if you have not yet, of course, seen our four tape set on The Secret, Behind the Secret, that's four tape or four CD set, you need to get it. And then, of course, we have our talk on The Forbidden Secret, and you get that along with the syllabus. We recommend the syllabus, but you can get the talk without the syllabus. We have a talk, and we think it's very important, Iraq, the Untold Story, pointing out that all of the wars, including the present one in the Middle East, of the last century and this century, were contrived and created, and of course they were all being used to advance this goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion. And so if you'd like, of course, to get my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you'd like to get the talk on Iraq, the Untold Story with the syllabus. If you'd like to get the talk, the Forbidden Secret with, of course, the syllabus that comes with that, or the four-tape or CD set, the Secret Behind the Secret, which really gets into Rhonda Byrne's effort to target Christians and everyone in America with a secret knowledge that's been around for 5,000 years that was known to Alexander the Great and to Plato and Alexander to Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great. And there really is a secret, and it has been passed down through the generations. And it will give you great power and influence, but you tap into this at the danger of losing your eternal soul. Because what it does, it involves you with the other dimension, and there is a spiritual, there is a demonic dimension, and you don't want to access it. But it's being pushed on the people, the unsuspecting people, all across America today, as you, and as Rhonda Byrne says in her book, from now on I will refer to you with a capital Y. You will have a capital Y and a Y, because you have become God. And that is the message from the Garden of Eden, and that is the message that's being put out today. You could become God. You can learn how to manipulate the universe with your mind. And, of course, that's Satan's old promise, and don't you fall for it. You need to get my 4-CD or 4-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, and then help us get the information out on all the other things we've talked about. Understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So if you'd like more information, if you'd like a free newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America, our freedom, our future, our families are under attack today. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll tell others about our programs, that maybe many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours a day as we purchase radio time on satellite, on shortwave, on radio stations, on the Internet. But what a wonderful way to reach people that we've never had before. And believe me, more and more people are waking up, and you'll hear many of the people who are leading the movement across America to take America back, speaking here at Radio Liberty. They're little people just like you and me, but people with a purpose and a love of freedom. And let's hope and pray that there are enough of them and we can awaken the American people in the time that God has allotted to us. And simply remember that freedom is not free, and if not, of course, protected in every generation. There are always a fascist element out there that want to take away your freedom. So pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.